When two people have disagreements, typically in the discussion, there is a strong desire to label the position of the other person. And oftentimes we do this because that makes discussion easier. After all, a word or a short phrase is easier to repeat than a long, detailed description of exactly what the other person's belief is. The problem, though, is that people tend to forget the details and they focus on the simple phrase. For instance, there have been over the years many pushes by various groups to change different aspects of the Lord's church. There are people, for instance, who want to partake of the Lord's Supper whenever they please. They do not want to be restricted to the tradition of partaking only on the first day of the week. There are other people who want to be able to divorce their spouses for any reason. And they don't want to be restricted to the tradition of only allowing divorce for marital unfaithfulness. There are people who want to use musical instruments in worship service. And they don't want to be restricted to the tradition of using only a cappella music. And there are people who don't want to bind the teachings of Christ from the Gospels. And they feel that the acceptance of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as books of the New Testament is only a tradition. And each one, what they basically do is label the position of what we're currently doing and saying, that's just a tradition. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been called a traditionalist because I've opposed those and similar types of innovations. Now, in the Bible, it is true. Traditions are condemned. The word tradition is used to translate a Greek word, paradosis, which means a handing down or a handing over. Take a look in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and starting at verse 1, it says, the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him, and they came when they had came from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they cleansed themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would have helped you is korban, that is to say, given to God. You are no longer permitted to permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. Jesus condemned the Jews because of their traditions. The traditions of requiring the washing of hands. Not that it's wrong to wash your hands before eating, but this tradition that it had to be done for religious purposes. Jesus pointed out their traditions at times contradicted the laws of God. But I want you to carefully note here what made these traditions wrong. Well, the traditions they had were derived from the wrong source. Notice how often the phrase tradition of our elders and traditions of men are mentioned here. When a practice is justified because this is the way they did things, then we're appealing to the wrong source. When a practice is justified as this is the way we did things when I was growing up, well, then I'm appealing to the wrong source. Because right or wrong isn't determined by the beliefs of men. In fact, Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 10 and in verse 23, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. It is not up to us to decide what's right or wrong. That's an area that God tells us. We're finite. We don't see everything. We don't understand everything. Just think about how many times people pass laws and there's unintended consequences because, oh, we didn't think about that. It's not up for us to decide what's right and wrong. Their traditions were wrong also because they disagreed with the teachings of God. Notice especially in verse 8 of Mark 7, going back there again, Mark 7, and in verse 8, he said, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. Basically, when it came between a tradition and what God commanded, the tradition became more important to them. But in a contest between God and man, God always wins. In fact, take a look what the apostle said in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5 and verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And Paul in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And so you find people will disparage things that we are doing in the church, and so just saying, well, that's just a tradition. That's just, we're just holding on tradition from 2,000 years ago. It's changed. Times are different. We're more modern than that. Which do we put first? What God says or what we do by man's traditions? But I want you to also take note, though, that there are traditions that are approved in the Bible. It's not that all traditions are wrong. In fact, it's a mistake to assume that any tradition is wrong. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 2, it says, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. He also told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, part of our scripture reading, but verse 15, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, he says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. So what makes Paul's traditions better than the Jewish traditions? Well, again, it comes down to the source. See, Paul carefully taught the Christians what God said. He used God's words. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 13, he says, We will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as to you, for we are not overextending ourselves, as if we did not reach to you, but we are first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other man's labors, but with the hope that is in your faith that grows, that you will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another, but he who boasts in the is to boast in the Lord. It is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. They said, well, we're not extending ourselves beyond what God wants us to do. We are limiting ourselves to the realm of what God wants taught and where God wants it taught. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says there's only one foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is only one foundation for all the teachings in the church, Christ. And everything that's involved in religion and in this world actually belongs to God. Continuing on in chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, and again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And Paul emphasized that what he taught was the things that God revealed. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Paul is saying, I'm not teaching my own words even. These are the words that come from God. I'm revealing them to you. That's what he and all the other apostles did. And so following after those teachings, well, those are the traditions. God's words, his teachings, his thoughts have been handed down. That's what tradition means. Have been handed down by Paul and the other apostles to the early Christians and handed down to us as well. And when we stay within the teachings of the Bible, we're following the traditions of God, not of men. So we need to think about, well, what kind of traditionalist then are you? When people label somebody a traditionalist, the word in and of itself doesn't tell you whether you're following the truth or not. Yet the implication and the assumption is that any tradition is wrong. But you know, that implies that we would have to always change. We can't continue to do what we've been doing, even if it's been right in the past, if all traditions are wrong. And there's a warning in Proverbs. Proverbs 24. And in verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change. And therein lies the problem. There are some people who just want change for change's sake. Yeah, they're opposed to any tradition. They always think that something new is better. But that cannot be. Something has to be right. Something has to stay. What is taught by God is what we find is to be the truth. And that is something we stand firm in. And if you think about it, yeah, sure, it's a rut. but as a rut that's heading in the right direction. Similarly, we need to realize traditions are not justification for any practice. See, too often people will cite past practices to prove continuance. Well, why do you have a song without instruments? Well, that's the way we've always done it. That doesn't make it right. Just because that's the way it was done. It may be interesting to note if others have come to the same conclusion by looking at, say, like the early church fathers' writings or other people, to see if they have, you know, read the passages and came to the same type of conclusion. But the fact of the matter is only the Word of God establishes what's right or wrong. So in other words, don't let traditions keep you from thinking. And I've found that so much over the years. People reciting catchphrases and never really thinking about what they mean. Can you prove, if necessary, why you do the things that you do? Over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Are you always ready to defend what you do? If someone asks, well, why don't you use instruments? Can you answer that question? Why do you meet every Sunday? You know, a lot of the denominations, people just show up once a month, a couple times a year, sometimes once every few years. You mean you have to do it every Sunday? You mean you go there multiple times on Sunday? If someone proposed to put a steeple on this building, would it be right or wrong? If someone proposed using another designation for the group other than Church of Christ, would it be right or wrong? Could the Lord's Supper be taken on Saturday? Could we gather for worship on Friday? Could we take up a collection on Wednesday? Is it wrong to take multiple collections for different purposes? We need to stop and think. Some of those things may be wrong. Some of those things may be right. But most of us have a knee-jerk reaction to those type of questions. But the only good answer is, well, over in the book of, it says this. That's the only answer that works. Too often we feel that, well, tradition, or I think, is somehow sufficient reason to prove what we do. And it's just not enough. And when other people ask, we ought to be willing to give them book, chapter, and verse for why the things we do. I think one of my favorite, when I was early years of college or late high school, it was early years of college, had a teacher that said basically, okay, we're going to prove everything that we do in worship. And we sat down the entire semester, going through, trying to find verses to prove every aspect of worship, from partaking of the Lord's Supper, to singing, to prayers, to having a sermon. Where's the book, the chapter, the verse? What proves that? It's something we should know, because not everybody practices worship the way we do. And it ought not be because this is just the way we always done it, but because this is what God said we ought to do. I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayer of your brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the Selected?